Hey y'all, and welcome back to Native Soil. Today we are blessed to sit down with a friend of mine, Sonia Garcia. Welcome to Native Soil.
Thank you, Father, for inviting me.
You're welcome. Special shout out to your family in Puerto Rico, Becca. I know your mom is a big fan.
She's a follower of Native Soil.
And so your mom's name is?
Julia Rosa Vasquez.
Julia. So, hola Julia, gracias por mirar todos los episodios. Qué bien. Do you think she's happy?
Yes, okay. She's super happy.
She gets a shout out in Puerto Rico. Awesome. Well, listen, tell everybody a little bit about yourself and where you're from.
Well, I was born in Fayetteville, North Carolina, here in the United States. My dad was in the Army, so I'm an Army brat, technically. And my parents are both Puerto Rican. My dad is from Patillas, Puerto Rico, also from the southeast, and my mom from Guayama, Puerto Rico, southeast as well.
Okay.
So they're from two different towns from Puerto Rico.
And how long were you in Fayetteville? Did you spend some of your childhood in Puerto Rico? I feel like at some point you had moved back or?
Well, I was born in North Carolina up to 6 years old. Then we moved to Arizona where because I have an older brother, that his name is Luis Garcia. And he was born in Arizona. So like before my dad retired in 1998 from the Army, we went for one last year in Arizona. And then that's when we did the big move to Puerto Rico.
Okay.
Back home.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have been how old at that point?
7, 8 years old.
Okay.
Nice. So I arrived to Puerto Rico when I was in second grade.
Nice. Now, growing up in the home, did y'all speak Spanish?
Yes, my mom was really particular with that. At home, Spanish, with your friends, English.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. We're doing both.
Yeah, so she always encouraged us.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
There's a number of things that you have gotten involved with in your faith over the years that I want us to touch on. But I feel like, even just doing ministry with you, one of your great gifts is music. And you've lead music at Mass, at charismatic retreats, and our vocational retreats. Talk about music. How did you kind of, I feel like that's kind of maybe one of your first callings is to get involved with music and play music. How did that happen?
Well, in my family, our background is that my grandpa, my mom's dad, he was an artisan. He used to build guitars, and our national instrument, a cuatro, that's like a type of guitar with 12 strings. So he used to build and not only build it, but play it.
Wow.
We used to do a lot of parrandas over there. So my family is really big with music from my mom's side.
Now, what's a parranda?
Parranda is like Christmas carol. But more like with upbeat.
With that Caribbean.
Yeah, the Caribbean, infusion there.
Yeah.
So it's like in Christmas time, we go visit from home to home and singing Christmas carols to the people around in your neighborhood.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. And then after that, my mom was sharing a little bit of experience when I was 2 years old when we were here in the United States living. She said that one time I was in the pews and I couldn't stay still in the pews because I was always getting out from there, going into the aisle and looking at the choir. So the choir and the priest was always my two main focus at church. So it was I will walk up to the priest, look at him, and then the choir. So she's she said, you've always been drawn to music since I was small.
Since 2 years old. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was something in you. It was kind of, you're made for it.
Yes.
So what all instruments can you play?
Well, when I started over there in Puerto Rico, first with my voice, and then I started playing with the clarinet when I was in fifth grade.
Right.
I started training, and I got into the marching band in Puerto Rico. So after that, I started learning guitar when I was in seventh grade because I also wanted to learn how to play music and kind of accompany, because my dream was at first to become a musician, a singer, famous rock star. I don't know. That was something that I had planned, but it didn't quite come out.
And the clarinet, you didn't think the clarinet was going to help you be a rock star?
No. No. But I did want it to go to the conservatory music at one point too. So it was both of them were both dreams with the music was always there.
And how did that connect to your faith? Did you find yourself playing at church or just singing hymns at a certain point? When you're 2 years old, you kind of looking at the choir at church. Did you have opportunities to use your gifts in that way?
Well, it was when my grandma died in 2004. My family came together as a choir, so we did like a family choir, and there was a necessity in this barrio, in this community, that they didn't have a choir. So my brother, my mom, and I, we started with the music. And then one year, my brother couldn't continue with the music in that community. That's called Nuestra Señora de Carmen, Our Lady of Carmen. And that's when, like, I kind of had to, like, continue with his music, like, with the music ministry. And they used to call me three-tone Sonia because I only knew only three tones. And that's how I kind of had to, like, guide the mass and, like, with the music.
Right.
I wasn't really that well trained because I taught myself guitar, so.
Right. And your brother is pretty musical as well. Like, y'all were playing and so did he kind of help you?
Yes, he
learned the ropes a little bit.
Yeah, he then eventually taught me like some tricks, some like chords, like more, there's like more chords and how to, you know, like how to sing and play the guitar at the same time, because yeah. He know it was like tricky, so
yeah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And so the death of your grandmother kind of brought this out of you.
Yes.
It kind of put you in a situation where it's like, okay, we as a family, we want to like celebrate her life in a special way, and so we got to figure this thing out. And so that's kind of how you got started.
And with the music, yeah.
Yeah, that's neat.
And at church.
At church. Mm-hmm. So how did you find your way to the Archdiocese? How did you find your way to Mobile? How did that happen?
Well, back then I had a friend that used to, Puerto Rican friend that used to live here in Mobile. And I came around 2009, 2010 to visit. And I fell in love with Mobile. And then after that, I just moved in 2011.
What about Mobile? What was it about it that you fell in love with? Because, you're from a beautiful place and you were having good experiences. But what kind of captured your heart?
Well, what brought me also to Mobile is like the hospitality here, the community that I started to build, and also the work opportunity. It was just more with the, after I graduated from the University of Puerto Rico, that I became a teacher. I just saw that there was like more opportunities here in the United States to become a teacher.
Right. And so from the first time you visited until you decided to move, how long was?
Like 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. So this will be my 10th year here in Alabama this year.
Awesome.
So 10 years.
Happy anniversary.
Yes.
That's cool that you know that. I remember talking to Deacon Hector and he very readily said, yeah, this is my 20th year anniversary and the Lord brought me to, Alabama,
mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a big deal for all you listening. You know, if the Lord brings you to Alabama, you got to write that on your calendar.
Yes.
So what is your parish? Has it always been St. Catherine's?
Well, prior to St. Catherine, it was Our Savior Parish. So I served there for 8 years in the music, but we also used to travel a lot to different parishes with the music because
right.
There was a need here in the diocese for Spanish music. So we'll go to once a month to Atmore. I used to go also to St. Maurice in Bruton, Sims. So it was like every Sunday, 2 mass, 3 mass, depending.
Yeah, that keeps you pretty busy.
Mm-hmm. So I was always busy.
And in the midst of that, you come, you're playing music over there at Our Savior, you're doing it at other parishes. How did you get involved with the Hispanic ministry for the diocese? How did that call come about?
So that call came about with the former director of Hispanic ministry, Dr. Olga Villar. She always she spot me one day playing with music with the Renewal Charismatic. And one day she was like, well, you're a young adult and I need help with this ministry that she kind of wanted to start. And it was like from 11 p.m. to 12 p.m. and like to kind of do like the Quinto Encuentro, like the encounters with them, like 5 sessions.
Right.
For those that people that are working late in restaurants or any other type of job, and still we wanted them to have an encounter with Christ. So that was like the purpose of that group. So for 5 sessions, I met with them. And that's how like Olga kind of like invited me eventually to come and work with her to the
right.
Hispanic ministry, to work with the pastor Juanin.
Right. Yeah, Olga is one of those people it's hard to say no to.
Yes. Yes.
And I was blessed, you know, to work with her as well. And so you got involved, and not only did she get you involved, but she also invited you to work on your master's, correct?
Yes, in 2018.
And that would be in?
In Boston College.
Boston College for?
For theology and ministry.
Theology and ministry. Did you ever see yourself getting a master's in theology and ministry, like when you arrived in Mobile? Like, did you see that coming?
No, because I was in education, and it was like totally like a turnaround from where I was in education and finally moving, you know, into a new, I mean, territory, but at the same time old, because I've always been interested in deepening my faith. So.
And what has that process been like? I mean, you're working here, you're doing ministry, you're teaching. And the side, you're working on this degree. What's been that process like of getting this degree?
It's been overwhelming, but at the same time, it's been, you know, helpful. It has been fruitful because it has helped me grow spiritually every year. Because it's not only just to give out, but also has helped me to deepen my faith, my encounter with God, to keep on discovering Him in everything.
Is there a certain subject or like saint? I remember talking to you, there's like different spiritualities you're learning about. Like, is there a certain saint or spirituality that's really resonated with you?
Well, one of the classes that kind of like resonated was the one from St. Teresa of Avila, the Carmelite.
Right.
Even though they're more contemplative, but that spirituality will have always drawn me near.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Powerful saint.
Yes.
That's awesome. All right. So in the midst of all this, you're coming to Mobile, you're falling in love with it, you're teaching, you're singing, you're getting recruited to Hispanic ministry, but somewhere along the way, you fall in love and get married.
Yes.
Benjamin.
Yes.
How did he come into the picture?
Well, I was at that time also playing a lot of music in the Renewal Charismatic group at St. Catherine's of Siena in the parish. And like, he started coming to our meetings and we started a friendship, and then like one day I was like, well, I think this is the guy, because he's in the path, you know, of you know, with God, and it's somebody I can pray with. He's calm. He's like the opposite of me, that I'm always like fast and, you know, like always like that Caribbean person. No, but I was like, this was the person for me, that I know that could calm me down, that we can pray together. And it was beautiful because we met through the church.
So it gave you confidence. It's like you had that common ground. You're sitting there praising the Lord together and doing ministry together, and finally you have a lot of common ground with this guy.
Yes.
And then how long since you met him at that charismatic group to the point you got married? How long did that take for y'all to figure out?
It took us like a year and a half. And then that's when he asked me my hand in marriage. Well, he asked my parents, because my parents used to come every summer and visit. And that was a big day. He was doing his Emmaus retreat, and that day he came with his holy water to do the activity of blessing each other. And that's when he told my mom, can you bless me and Sonia, because I want to ask your daughter in marriage. And that was like a big day for my parents, because they haven't seen this with the young, you know, with the youth or the young adults nowadays. So it was surprising for them too.
That meant a lot to them?
That meant a lot.
Yeah.
That this person is serious and, you know, wants something serious with my daughter.
Awesome. And were they kind of surprised? Were they kind of taken off guard when he did that?
It was taken off guard. My dad just sat down and just laughed. And He laughed at him, and I was like, oh my gosh. And then my mom was like, well, you both are adults. And then she was like, okay. And then she started blessing us with the water. But she's like, both of you are adults, and I know that you guys can handle it. And I know if this is meant to be, this is what the Lord wants.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah, such a special moment. And Benjamin originally is from?
Guatemala.
So y'all are very international, very yes. multicultural family that you're beginning.
Yes.
So that's amazing. So y'all been married how long now?
Now it's 4 years.
4 years. That's great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, what about Little Flower? You also, of all this, you're doing Hispanic ministry, you're playing music at different masses, you're working on your master's, you're getting married to Benjamin, and also a couple years ago, this door opened to teach at Little Flower. Talk about how did that happen, and what's that experience been like?
well, 5 years ago also with Olga Villard.
Yeah.
She was the one that when I was transitioning from Mississippi teaching as a kindergarten teacher, she's like, well, there's a position open. If I don't know if you want to still, you know, continue, you know, discerning while you're discerning if you want, you know, to work in ministry full, but you still have your teaching background. And that's when she told me that Little Flower was looking at the time for a Spanish teacher. And I met with the principal. I went for an interview. She showed me around the school. And I just immediately fell in love. And just only seeing that there was like centerists. You know, when you come into the school, that was like something that I was like, this is my new home. Like, I felt I wasn't home. I felt welcome by everybody, by the staff. And but it was in 2017 that Olga was the one that showed me,
connected
me with the principal at Little Flower.
And you've been teaching Spanish?
Yes, Spanish, kindergarten through fifth grade.
Awesome. Do you have a favorite grade?
I mean, like, all of them.
You love them all. You love all your children.
I love all of them. Yeah, they know my 60 kids.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
And what's it been, have you found with some of the Hispanic kids in particular, have you kind of been able to kind of help them feel comfortable or communicate with their parents? Or have you found yourself in that role of kind of bringing people together?
Yes. So that's one thing that I've liked also, like in Little Flower, I've been like that bridge between the Hispanic parents that are at Little Flower, and also like so the kids can feel, you know, comfortable when mom is not there.
Right.
And it's like they still have that Hispanic figure, you know, at the school, and they feel comfortable.
The one ministry you've helped me a lot with that just I'm kind of thinking all these different things you're involved with, you know, but is Hombres por Cristo.
Y para Cristo.
Y para Cristo. And, you know, men kind of united with Christ and ready to serve Christ. What has that been like? What has that meant? Have you seen that ministry kind of touch other people? And what's your hope for it kind of moving forward?
Well, that ministry means a lot for me because, like, even going back to that point when I was a kid, I've always been drawn, you know, to the priest in a way because I've seen them, like, it's an important figure for us, you know, in our life. But at the same time, what I found in Hombre por Cristo is not only about priesthood, but we're talking about all the vocations. And a lot of our young adults or even our teenagers, when they're in that transition from high school into, you know, young adulthood, sometimes they need that push to understand what are different types of vocation, being single, being a deacon, being married, or just going into religious life or, you know, becoming a priest.
Right.
So I think this this group has helped a lot. We've had a lot of people discern in their path of what Christ wants for them. So it's like more about vocations.
Yeah. No, it is. It's been an awesome thing to see that ministry develop. And you've been a great, it's, you know, you're a mujer por Cristo.
Y para Cristo.
But you've been such a great guide for these guys. And I know even with, we've had a couple Hispanic guys with Javier and Ruben to go into seminary. And I know that being able to talk to you and run things by you and kind of have a friendship with you has been a big part of that. Kind of like a Little Flower, like kind of you making those students feel kind of comfortable and like they belong. I've seen that with the seminarians too. It's kind of like, okay, like we can do this. There's like somebody who can kind of help us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been really neat to see. So you're involved in so many different things and you've gotten to know our diocese. You've seen more of it probably than most people just because of the ministries. Is there a certain way that you see the Lord calling us, you know, to bring about renewal to our native soil? Is there something in particular that's kind of on your heart that you feel called, that's kind of the next thing as far as just people encountering Christ and the faith growing in our diocese? What is it that you see is kind of pressing?
Like for me in this moment, it's like, you know, forming more that discipleship. It's like renewing our young adults because with them, you know, that's where our church is, you know, growing in the future. So I just see like, you know, just continue empowering our young adults with leadership skills and being able to encounter Christ through all the communities that we have throughout the Archdiocese.
Yeah. No, that demographic, I think all around the church, every demographic is the one where it's the biggest question mark. You know, we're losing people and trying to figure out like how to reach them, how to make the faith relevant, how to empower them to know Christ and live it. That's, I think that's a huge challenge across the board, but definitely one. We're blessed to have you in the trenches, like figuring it out, you know? So, well, good. Well, did you bring your soil?
Yes, Father, I brought my soil.
Okay. And I know I didn't give you enough lead time to go to Puerto Rico, but tell us about your soil.
So my soil is more about Theodore, where I live, right. Where I have my house. A little bit of Bellengrath Garden, because I lived there for a year with my white mama.
Yeah.
And then I have a little bit of Our Savior and a little bit of St. Catherine of Siena. Our Savior because of the years of service in the music, and then St. Catherine because I got married there.
Awesome. So you have a nice collection there.
Yes.
Now tell everyone about your white mama. This is kind of fun.
My white mama, well, she's Baptist. She's from, the Theodore area. We met when I started first working in collection. I was a bill collector back then,
right.
A bilingual bill collector. And since then, we've had this friendship, and she's always cared for me as I've been her child. She's not even married. She's just a single person, but she's cared for me.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I know somebody, you mentioned her regularly because she's just such an important figure of someone who kind of looked out for you and made you feel home. And also probably you should mention your pets.
Oh, yes. I have a wide range of pets. My Johnny, my Rocky, Buddy, Canelo. And I have a rooster, a chicken, and now I have 6 little chicks.
Yeah. So there's always a big something exciting going big on farm. In your house. That's so fun. All right. Well, let's get this soil. We want to be able to keep it as part of our set to remember you by. And this is a good collection of soil here. Did you get this all like one day? Did you just go driving?
Different places, yeah.
Different places.
Over the weekend.
Awesome. Okay. I'm going to give this to you. I'd love for you to sign it so we know whose it belongs to. And then we'll finish. I'll say a blessing over you and your soil, which represents so many things, so many places, so many parts of your life, but also so many ways in which the Lord has called you to, you know, use your gifts. If you just hold on to this. Use your gifts to be a blessing to our church. And the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we praise you, we love you, we thank you for your blessings, and thank you for Sonia. Thank you for bringing her to our diocese. Thank you for all the gifts and talents she has and the many ways in which you have inspired her to use them to bring about renewal in our native soil. We ask your continued blessing upon her and Benjamin on their marriage and all the ministries that you have them involved with, that they may bring the light of Christ to many. We entrust her marriage, and all these ministries to you, Lord, through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And through intercession, Mary, God bless you, your soil, and all those listening. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Well, God bless y'all, and we'll look forward to seeing you back here on Native Soil.